I woke in the middle of the night with a dream. I guess you could call it a nightmare, because when I woke up, I thought that I had stood up here on Palm Sunday and preached our Easter sermon. That's what you get for trying to work on too many sermons and presentations at one time. They're all kind of in there. So if I go off on the rail of Easter here in a few minutes, well, just bear with me. It'll be okay. But for today, I'd like to stick with Palm Sunday, and I'd like to share with you the text of Mark 11, 1 through 11. Will you listen to these words? Follow me if you can. Mark 11, 1 through 11. And listen to the words here, in search of the word of the Lord. When Jesus and his followers approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus gave two disciples a task, saying to them, "Go into the village over there, and as soon as you enter it, you will find tied up there a colt that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The master needs it, and he will send it back right away.'" They went and found a colt tied to a gate outside in the street, and they untied it. Some people around there said, "Why are you doing this, untying the colt?" And they told them just what Jesus said, and they left them alone. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes upon it, and Jesus sat on it. Many people spread out their clothes on the road, while others spread out branches cut from the fields. Those in front of him and those following him were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And after he looked around at everything, because it was already late in the evening, he returned to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A little boy was sick on Palm Sunday, and so he and his mom had to stay home from church. But Dad was a good guy and went anyway. And he was kind enough to come back home bringing a palm branch for the little boy. Little boy was curious and he said, "Why do you have that palm branch, Dad?" And the dad explained, "You see, when Jesus came into town, everyone waved palm branches to honor him. So we all got palm branches today." The little boy replied, "I'm so disappointed. The one Sunday that I miss church and Jesus shows up." I think Jesus is with us every Sunday. And I mean the risen Lord, the presence, the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit, if you will, the presence of Christ is with us when we are gathered together. And when we talk about that, we enliven it, we give it life, we breathe life into it. When we talk about Christ being present, we should do that every Sunday, and I believe we do. But our children helped us to do it in a special way today by waving the palm branches and welcoming him in. I was a little uncomfortable about following them because they were sort of leading the way for Jesus. I'd rather been ahead of them, because Jesus was coming in with them and with me and after me. And Jesus' presence came in with you this morning. That's what we celebrate, the presence of the Lord, the risen one. But on Palm Sunday, we think of him as a human being. Because he was then. And he rode on the back of a humble donkey. Do you know how striking that is? You know, in times throughout our culture, people have ridden horses into battle. People have ridden horses or stallions and parades and in places of dignity and honor, kings and princes and royalty. Why would Jesus have picked a donkey? Have you thought about that? Donkeys are humble creatures. Jesus was a humble creature. Wow. I'm not sure creature is the right word. Creature, creator, but humble. In his human form, humble. Enough to bear death on a cross. Enough to come into town amidst a celebrating crowd, which was probably unanticipated, riding on a donkey's back. How humble. How strange for a king. Maybe Jesus was a strange king. Stories told of a peewee baseball game. A little boy got up to the plate. He looked over at the coach and he saw him give him a signal to sacrifice bunt. But he wasn't going to do it. He proceeded to take three swings at the ball and strike out completely. The coach ran up to him and said, "Hey, didn't you see me give you the signal to sacrifice?" "Yeah," the boy replied, "but I didn't think you really meant it." Isn't that how often we say things to God? "Yeah, Lord, I heard you talk about humility and sacrifice today, but I didn't really think you meant it." The cross for us Christian followers, followers of Jesus, is evidence that Jesus meant it. He meant it. He meant servanthood. He meant sacrifice. He meant giving himself so that others could live. Jesus began to talk in his, as he approached this time, began to talk more and more about the dark things, about giving in, about dying, about "I won't be with you much longer." And he began to talk about commitment too with his disciples. And I don't think they took him seriously on the commitment part, because I don't think they took him seriously on the dying part. You remember how Peter was in the garden with when they came to arrest Jesus. Peter was not going to have it. He took his sword out and began to use it. And he didn't understand what Jesus was really about. Can you imagine that? Been with Jesus 3.5 years, walking, talking, teaching, eating in the desert, sleeping by the roadside, and he didn't get it. He didn't get it that Jesus was going to die and that Jesus did not need Peter to defend him. Some of the cheering for Jesus that was alive in the crowds, some of the cheering of crowds stopped because Jesus began to talk more and more about commitment. It stopped because Jesus invited them to join him. But mainly, it stopped because Jesus began to talk about a cross, about suffering. What is Palm Sunday? Well, maybe it's a better way to ask that question is, what would the story be like, the story of the gospel, I mean, if the story ended with Palm Sunday, with Jesus riding into Jerusalem with a cheering crowd? Isn't it amazing that that cheering crowd turned into a jeering crowd only 5 days later? Some of the same people, no doubt, right there on those same streets. Like the disciples, maybe we would like it if the gospel could conclude right here on Palm Sunday with the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and let that be the happy ending. But after all, the disciples had been through, and with their secret hope that Jesus would be a political Messiah, a political success on whose coattails they might ride to prominence and favor, the disciples could have looked at the triumphal entry and thought, now this is more like it. This is the way it should be. They probably wanted to just bottle that festive atmosphere and hold on to it so they could enjoy it again and again. Problem is, there's no salvation for anyone on Palm Sunday. The people cried out from the crowd and from the edges of the streets, Hosanna, which literally means save us. It wasn't a deal yet. Given the world that we live in, there could be no salvation from that kind of happy parade if that was all there was to the story. That festive atmosphere, though in one sense it seems fitting for Jesus the Christ, the deep down royalty of Jesus as God's Son, still, it doesn't address the problems that need solving. And maybe at this time in our lives, we can admit that we need a Redeemer. If we look back on our history, we see that human sin has not resulted in one long string of happy parades, but rather in a series of calamities. In fact, really, a long, sad parade of calamities and horror throughout human history. Read your history books. Read the history of the Christian tradition and the Christian faith. The Crusades. How can we celebrate a history that shows us things like the Trail of Tears on which Native Americans tramped into exile? Or how can we trust and celebrate a history that shows us boatloads of African people in chains, taken from their native country and brought to a place called America, and then paraded before potential buyers, not of their services, but of their very lives? History shows us long lines of Jews marching not in some victory parade, but shuffling along toward Nazi gas chambers. You know the story. Children that don't even feel safe in the hallways of their schools. These things are why we remember the coming of Messiah. And we want the rest of the story. We want the resurrection part, where we know that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We can't stop with Palm Sunday. Neither can we rush to Easter, for it's going to be a long week. Jesus shows us the way to servanthood. Jesus shows us the way not to success, but to wholeness. And He shows us that pathway through the servanthood, the willingness to submit, even to death on a cross. I think that's why He rode a donkey. Because that donkey, to me, can't be anything but a symbol of servanthood. Because donkeys are the best of servants. They don't complain. They carry anything you ask them to carry. And they just walk and walk and walk. Actually, the donkey is a symbol of servanthood because it's such a humble animal. It's interesting to me to point out that Jesus' life began and ended with a donkey ride. Mary and Joseph, when they went to Bethlehem, Mary sat on the back of a donkey and carried Jesus inside her or in her arms. Joseph walked along beside, but Jesus rode on a donkey. It's a sign of humility and servanthood. One day, an older woman, a bank executive, was walking past one of the offices in her bank. She glanced and she saw a young woman sitting at her desk, a bank employee, but she was sitting there at her desk sobbing. And the older woman went in to see if she could do something to help. "Nothing is that bad," she said. "Why don't you tell me about it?" And so the younger woman explained, "My mother died about a month ago. And just this past weekend, I became engaged. We have planned a June wedding, but I don't know the first thing to do, and I don't have a mother to help me." The older lady said, "Oh, yes, you do. I'll be your mother." And as they hugged each other, an incredible friendship was born, all because one person saw two things: a hurting person and an opportunity for a ministry that she uniquely could provide. That's humility. 500 years from now, as we delight in the glory of God's kingdom, we will not even remember how much money we earned on earth, or how big our houses were, or whether we had much status or popularity. But we will certainly celebrate forever every single donkey that we have given to the Master. I thank you for your servanthood in this community, for our food pantry, for the many ways that you reach out in the schools, and every one of you go to places of business, and you are a representative of Christ wherever you go. Take up your donkey. Take up your humble heart. Take up your willingness to do something humble for Christ, who did something humble for us. Humility doesn't play well in our society. We even teach our children to be proud of themselves. I think we need to teach them to be confident. I don't really like how it sounds to say proud. Teach them to be confident and to be willing to take a step forward and to find their place in the world. But I don't know that we want to teach them to be proud. This humble approach has a long history. Mahatma Gandhi led the people of India through a passive resistance that resulted in their liberation from British domination. Gandhi based his methods on the person and the activities of Jesus. He summarized the Jesus way by saying this. He said, "First they laugh at you, and then they fight you, and then you win." Jesus taught us that the path to greatness, to real winning, comes through humility, through humbling ourselves. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And let us each be His servants. See, lords have servants. Those things go together. The sort of definition of Lord is one who has servants. And the definition of servant is one who serves as Lord. Let us each be His servant, maybe even His donkey. At least let us offer ourselves, and maybe even spread our own cloaks on the road before Him.